Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. And you can find out a whole lot about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. So you can find out a whole lot about Rock Hill's PRT, Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, when you bring the man to the table who runs the doggone department. His name is Mark Sexton. He's been on this show a number of times in the past, and we always seem to kick it off. We get him back here when they had their annual report, and we're going to talk about that. Is that right, Mark?
Excited to produce this annual report. It kind of gives you a snapshot, if you will, of what our department does over a course of a year, which is, if you look at it, it's pretty impressive. And again, that's just a snapshot of what we do. It's some of the highlights, but our staff does a phenomenal job of, one, working within this community every single year, trying to provide some high-quality recreational services and help drive the economy and maintain a 1,000-plus acre park system. But then they also do a great job of putting this actual annual report together.
Yes, so, I know. I That's a quality report. It's very well done.
Well, thank you.
So let's step back.
Okay.
For those who haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, and we're growing so rapidly, I'm sure there's a few people out there who haven't met you. Tell them a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to meet everyone. So my background is I got to Rock Hill in 1990 by way of Winthrop University. Got a chance to play baseball there. Actually got to play a little bit with John Black. He's a senior when I was a freshman. I won't get into those stories. But
was he any good?
He was good. He was good. I won't get into I took his position or anything like that. But anyway, just kidding, John. Winthrop University, graduated in 1994. Long story short, I was actually looking, I graduated with a physical education degree with an emphasis in leisure services, and I was looking really to start a job. I grew up in a small town in Manning, South Carolina, and while I loved Manning, I didn't want to go back to Manning. And I loved Rock Hill and the community, so I've tried to find a way to stay here. And you remember a gentleman by the name of Tony Adams.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
Tony was actually taking a class while I was a senior and said, we've got seasonal job openings at Cherry Park if anybody is interested. So I made a beeline to Mr. Tony and said, sign me up. Where do I fill out an application? So I started as a seasonal employee in the summer of 1994 at Cherry Park, pretty much doing anything. I ran concessions. I drug ball fields. I was a park monitor. I was hey, go get this kind of guy.
So I want you to think back 31, 32 years ago. How big or how small, by today's standards, was the PRT department?
Oh, I think we had, I think, 20-something full-time employees at that time, and we have 120 now. Now, that was, again, the mid-1990s. We had Cherry Park and Harget Park, really, as our tourism facilities. And Cherry Park is still successful, highly successful today, but it was a one-of-a-kind in the early, in the mid-90s. But, yeah, I mean, you look at all we have. I mean, I think Manchester Meadows, by timeline, was the next park that was built. And I think that opened up in 2004.
I can remember that park being where the old lagoons were.
Yes, right, where the Manchester Water
Treatment. Before we built the Manchester Wastewater Treatment.
Which is a great story in itself. You take something that can't be used for anything else, and now you got these great rectangle soccer fields can be used to drive the economy, and our community can play on it. But, yeah, I mean, we've come a long way.
Did you ever think back in your starting years with the city that this department would morph into what it is now?
No. I'd be lying to you if I told you I did. I don't think that thought crossed my mind. It is very impressive when you look at it and you phrase it the way you're phrasing it, and the fact of where we were with just Cherry and Harget and where we are today. I give a lot. I mean, all the credit has to go to our council.
Well, I agree.
And our management team. Yeah. I mean, they are so progressive. I think I spoke at one thing one day, Manning, and I described it. David Vihan's our offensive coordinator, and Stephen Gibson and Jimmy Bagley were our two other offensive coordinators. We didn't have a defensive coordinator. We just had gas pedal down. So I don't. I think it's a credit to our staff. I think it's credit to council management for the vision that they have to be able to have this recreational amenities for our community, but also to see that it can drive the economy and bring people to Rock Hill. I think people know about Rock Hill because of sports tourism.
I always remember having former Mayor Doug Eccles on the program, and we got talking about sports and sports tourism. And he said, I'm not quite sure how this all started. I said, I can tell you exactly how it started. You and Melford Wilson lost your jobs on city council.
That's exactly
voting
right.
For this thing called a Cherry Park.
That's
rather
right.
Than building a mall out there.
That's exactly right.
And bingo.
Can you imagine if that had not been successful? If Cherry hadn't been successful, the story I like to tell, if Cherry hadn't been successful, I don't think anything we have today would be here potentially. I think it took some of that political fortitude years ago. It took some vision. It took the staff working hard, and it took the people before me to be able to recruit it and bring in events and to basically show the community that you can come out here, you can have a nice trail to walk on, shelters, playgrounds, play your local games here, and then again, you can have tournaments on the weekend. It is an interesting way to look at it and go back.
I always remember council getting a presentation by the doctor. I cannot remember his name. Who came to council and said, you know what, I've got a bunch of avid cyclists who are willing to put $500,000 up for a thing called a velodrome.
Mm-hmm. Was it Mike Cowan?
Mike Cowan's exactly
right. Yep.
And they all looked at each other and said, what the hell is a velodrome?
Well, that's the first question we had to ask. It was Mike Cowan, a neuroscientist, and then Spencer Luters. I don't know if you remember that name. Spencer Luters was at that time, he was a NASCAR patent attorney. And they brought the idea of a velodrome to Rock Hill. And I think everybody asked that question, what is a velodrome? And then when you start explaining it, that it's basically a 42.5-degree bank concrete circle on a bicycle with no brakes. Everybody really had to pause and say, what are we doing here?
Well, but you talk about the vision of council. When the Celanese plant went up for sale, all these developers wanted to build 1,000 acres of houses out there.
Yeah.
And the city said, whoa, let's sit back and see if we can't do this a little bit better. Now, they needed water and sewer out there from the city, so
That's right.
Had a little bit of a lever. But the city also said, if you do X, we'll do Y, and if you do Y, we'll do Z. And they worked out
what's
called a cycling community.
It's really, and it's more than just cycling. You got 250 acres out there that are dedicated to recreational space. I think one of the smartest things, in my opinion, that the city did was they opened up the trail
along
the Catawba River.
Oh, yeah.
Before they built anything else, they said, what I like to describe it is, I think everybody in Rock Hill experienced the Catawba River over Highway 21, probably going 45 miles an hour, or flying over it going 70 miles an hour on I-77, but they never got to experience it, feel it, touch it.
Right.
And when you opened up that trail, that now is 2.5 miles, now it's over 3 miles, of nice views.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful landscaping and, 10-foot wide paved asphalt trail going along the Catawba River. I think that opened up the eyes probably to the community that says, hey, we can get behind these projects. And that trail is constantly, probably our most used trail that we have in our whole system.
So what did you do when the Catawba flooded? Not once, but twice.
Repaired and repaved and rebuilt. We know what's going to happen. I think River Park, right downstream from it, we had a boardwalk in the floodplain, so it got ripped up pretty bad. We did get some federal dollars, not probably what we deserve, but we got some federal dollars to help repave that or refix it. But, you have to refix it and, fix the bridges and fix the trail and move on, just like with any other type of natural issues we have to face.
So, anyway, we could sit here and go through every year what's happened, but the city, you're right, the credit needs to be given to the council.
Absolutely.
To the administration down there, and really the citizens wanted this stuff.
That's right.
They wanted recreation. And what's been interesting is we now see York County understanding that they need a recreation, and they're not trying to replicate what you've done.
That's right.
They've got what you call passive recreation, open parks.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. And they complement each other, which I think is great.
Absolutely. I will like just to add one thing. I think the system in Rock Hill really works. And you mentioned council and management and the progressive nature. You look at how, and I'm going to say our department works as a whole. So we have 16 or 17 advisory committees. And all of those, Manning, are basically people within our community. You talk about community. I like to say this is the backbone of how PRT operates. But these are advisory. These are people made up in our community that are advising staff on what they want to see out of the programs, the facilities, et cetera. They report up through four commissions. So you got the Public Parks and Recreation Commission, the Tourism Commission, the Commission on Children and Youth, and the People Mayor's Committee on People with Disabilities. Again, more members of our community that are advising staff. Those 16 advisory committees report up through the Public Parks and Recreation Commission. More members of our community basically trying to say, hey, here's what we want to see out of our park system. And then whatever bubbles up out of that is ultimately going to management and to council. And I take pride in the fact I think they trust us that, hey, when they go build stuff, that we're going to fill it up. And that's our job. Our staff will be creative. They'll try to find a way to make sure our local community can benefit from it. But then also, like I said before, we can drive the economy. But I think that system as a whole really works. Because it's the community telling us what they want to see.
Yeah. And we're not resting on our laurels.
That's right.
We are growing this thing. I mean, you're building a park now. I don't know what the formal name is, Southside Park?
Southside Regional Park, right.
That thing is going to dwarf anything that's in Rock Hill right now in terms
right.
of total acres. I don't know, what is 100 acres?
When it's all said and done, so obviously this is going to be done in phases.
Sure.
But it's going to be done through some partnerships as well. But it's going to go all the way from Heckle Boulevard, 901, and eventually come all the way into downtown Rock Hill. Mm-hmm. It'll connect through Huckle Grove Park, and we'll have some passive linear areas of it. Might just be a trail in certain areas. But when you start talking about connectivity and trying to get people connected from the Catawba River into downtown, and then you're getting Highway 901 and Heckle Boulevard also connected into downtown, give them alternative modes of transportation. Health and wellness is a part of that. But when it's all said and done, again, it'll be done in phases. There's no final time frame on when that will be done.
Sure.
But it's 140 acres when it's all said and done throughout this process.
Well, to do a park, I always go back to the Anne Springs Close Greenway. It took 25 years to get that park where it is today.
That's right.
And it's going to take York County probably 25 years to get to Catawba Bend.
That's right.
And I would imagine Southside Park is going to take 20 years.
That's right.
It's all said and done.
I think it very easily could take that long. I mean, we've got to get some components in there that'll be tourism related for sure. There's going to be some components for the community, but I think as the good thing about it is we haven't done a whole lot. As you know, when you look at that whole master plan for the Southside Regional Park, there's some parks that are going to be upfitted throughout that. So you got Arcade A and B. They're, you know, it's got some wear and tear on it throughout the years. We haven't done a whole lot with it because we knew the regional park was coming, and you also got an adjacent right beside Arcade A and B is Arcade Victoria.
Yeah.
Which is, we'll be able to do all this master plan for the Southside Regional Park, pick up those two facilities and improve them throughout the process.
So where are we now with the Southside Regional Park?
We have gone out to bid. We are evaluating those bids and trying to figure out what can be built with the funds that we have.
Okay.
And we are close to finalizing that process.
And when we say close, by the end of the year?
I'd say by the end of the month.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And that, once that's awarded, we will be building in that phase what?
Well, we're going to be building so the amenities that are currently in the scope of work are so baseball fields that will have the ability to have football, soccer, lacrosse, I'm going to call them rectangle fields, in the outfields.
Uh-huh.
In that baseball field with those four baseball fields that are going around what we call a clover leaf design, they'll have baseball fields in the corners of each right field and left field that allow us to play. Basically, they'll have eight fields at any given time if we were playing little kids baseball or softball. And then we're going to work on our partnership with the American Legion and build a stadium type concept American Legion field for them.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So that would take, what, a couple of years to do all that?
Yeah, probably 2 years total build out. Might be able to get, depending on the amenities and all the attractions that are going to be a part of it, you might could get that done in 18 months, but I think to be safe. The good thing about this project, Manning, is we were able to leverage $15 million from the federal government to an ORLAP grant, which is a very competitive grant. It's actually awarded to the state of South Carolina. The state of South Carolina is the one who actually picks who they want to get behind in this project. This is something we take great pride in. I think it's a, you talk about our department, and it's not just one department. The city works very well as a team. And so you got our grants team that is working on this. And the state of South Carolina has only gotten the ORLAP grant three times. The city of Rock Hill's gotten two of them. And Armory Park was one of them. You know, we just opened up Armory Park this last fiscal year. That was $1 million. And I'm not going to name the city, but the city that got the first one for the state of South Carolina hasn't even finished their first one. We've already finished Armory, and we're starting on the next regional park. But I only bring that up into saying that I think the city does a great job of trying to find additional resources, find additional funds. Challenge comes along with that. When you start getting the federal government involved and you get their money, you have to apply and play by their rules, which is fine. We're happy to do that. But I think it's, you know, going through the state, going through the federal government, using these funds, we have to get a little bit by a different set of guidelines.
So the federal government, I mean, the federal dollars combined with, I imagine, hospitality tax dollars.
Yes, sir.
That first phase will be approximately how many total dollars?
Dollars?
Yeah.
Probably in the tune of, probably in the mid-40s.
Yeah. Big project.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a big project. That's great. Ooh. Well, guess what? We have blown through half the show, and I haven't even talked about what I want to talk about.
I'm sorry. I'll tell stories all day long.
It's not your fault. It's my fault. This is Straight Talk, by the way, live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Caporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, here we are. We're at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We do not play softball here, but we do play. We'll fix what you want to eat. That's as simple as that. And how we do it is in the white letters at the count of three. Everybody, one, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI
and CN2.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Coming later this month from Founders Federal Credit Union, early pay. Members get paid up to 2 days early. That's right, Founders will credit your account early by up to 2 days. If you still need to switch your direct deposits to Founders, stop by an office or use the Founders app today. Initial processing times vary. Not a member yet? Stop by an office or visit us online at foundersfcu.com to see if you qualify for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply. Founders does not guarantee early posting.
For more than 130 years, Caporium has been a part of the fabric of this community. We've grown alongside schools, organizations, and local businesses, always committed to helping this place we call home succeed. Caporium employees aren't strangers. They're friends, family, and neighbors you see every day. Where others see customers, we see community. We give back, building trust that lasts for generations. Caporium, here for you.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Mark Sexton, the head of Rock Hills Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department, is with us today. It's a fascinating story about what has happened. But let's get to what we really wanted to talk about, was the annual report. And I want to get you to highlight what you think the biggest things are that people need to know from this report. And it's a very well-done report. It's probably 20 pages.
Yeah.
All kinds of graphs and information and pictures and what have you.
Well, thank you, Manny. Again, I'd like to just – I think it's a kudos to our staff for putting this together. Again, it's a snapshot of what our department does over the course of the year. We have a thing that our staff – some of our staff get together and kind of had a little retreat. And I think it's important because I think it explains why some of this is written the way it's written. But we came up with an acronym, and it's something our staff wanted to say. Here's going to be our direction over the course of the year. And ironically enough, and we did not have this going into it, it came out as COPS, C-O-P-S. And what that stands for is, as a staff, we said we wanted to be creative. Okay, and what that means is we want to be creative in everything that we do. We think that the park system is changing, and what I mean by that, neighborhoods change. In fact, our commission is going to have a retreat next month, and we're going to talk about this. You know, when parks were built in the 70s, around what maybe a neighborhood wanted in the 70s may not be the same as it is in the late 20s.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever amenities were in that park may need to be something totally different moving forward. But then also creativity and programming. You know, what programs were popular back then? The world of sports is changing. We're starting a wrestling program. In fact, it came out of one of the sports commission's meetings, if I recall. It's the first time it came up. But it was weird timing. Again, it's our community telling us what they want to see. And somebody said, y'all should get into wrestling. And one of our staff said, I know wrestling. I'll do the wrestling program. So we're starting a wrestling program. So creativity. The O is ownership. We want to own everything we do, take pride in what we do, do it the right way. You know, make sure that I like to describe it as our parks are, should be like your front porch to your house. You want to keep it clean and safe. People need to feel clean and safe when they come in there. You don't see trash. It's a safe environment to be in. The P is we want to be present. We want to be present in our community. I think put on a smiling face. People want to get outside. They want to enjoy the sun. They want to enjoy the programs. Let's be present. Let's smile to them and have great customer service. And the last one's very simple. Let's be safe while we're doing everything. Safety's got to be a key component in everything we do.
Now, let me stop you right here.
Yes, sir.
Because one thing that I always remember so clearly was when the Sports Commission voted to put the indoor sports arena downtown, the next question was, okay, who's going to operate this thing? And we bantered back and forth, da-da-da-da-da. But the commission said overwhelmingly, 100%, we want PRT to do it because you have such a strong record of doing exactly what you just talked about, providing a safe space, it's clean, and your service is just off the charts.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, I will make sure we share that with the staff. We do hear that a lot. We had our safety meeting yesterday with all of our staff, and I played them a clip of what Adidas – they didn't know we were there. Adidas was having a conference somewhere out in the Midwest, and they talked about why they chose Rock Hill. And it wasn't money. They love the facility, but the reason they chose Rock Hill and stay in Rock Hill is because of our staff. Yeah. And they'll say that. It's the little things. It's the hospitality. It's the customer service. This lady that was speaking talked about an example. One of them made a comment that they were looking for something. Just made a comment in a meeting. Hey, I'm looking for something. Our staff didn't just say, hey, I'm going to go do this. They took off, ran, went and got it, and brought it back to her. She didn't ask for it. She's like, that's the type of impeccable customer service that we're looking for. But I'll take it a step further, Manning. It's not just PRT. It really is the city as a team. You know, I think about other departments that are critical in what we do.
Yes.
I mean, BMX in Manchester, we were talking about Manchester earlier. We were up against Boston and Kansas City for an event. And the only reason we got an event is because we were a full-service city. Mike Jolly is our utilities director and does a phenomenal job. When we have an LOC, he sits at the table, and he is a part of making sure that we don't lose power. So if we're on TV, we got to make sure we have power. That is very critical. You know, I think of our police department, our fire department, and our communications, every department along the way, IT. We were driving, you know, our IT department crazy one weekend because one of our college coaches said, I can't get on it. So we immediately start getting on the texting and, you know, trying to figure out how do we boost our Wi-Fi to make sure the customer service is there. So it all works together. And, I think our staff take pride in that. And we want to share, no matter what your job is, no matter what your role is, whether you're recruiting the event, servicing the event, maintaining the event, cleaning a restroom, whatever it is, you're creating economic development, you're creating tourism dollars, and every step along the way.
So throw those numbers out.
Okay.
In terms of economic impact, in terms of dollars.
And then, ironically enough, Manning, this year was a little bit of a down year from us for a variety of different reasons. We had some inclement weather where we lost two weekends. But this past year, last fiscal year, we had 194 events, tourism events, that were held at PRT facilities. 194. There's 365 days in a year. 194 events were held at PRT. We had over 484,000 people that visited Rock Hill. It created just shy of 189,000 room nights. And we had a direct economic impact of over $95 million. Direct economic impact. That's just at Rock Hill PRT facilities. And, you can look at this report and you can see the creativity in it. You can see us hosting rugby events. We hosted the Pan Am Table Tennis Championships. That event had never been in the United States. First time it had ever been in our country. And we hosted it right here at Sports and Events Center. So, I mean, it's just some of the relationships that are built, the creativity, with Adidas and ACL and rugby and softball, soccer. I mean, name it. It all comes back to people, and it all comes back to the relationship building. I don't think we'd be nearly as successful knowing how some other people operate, and they're just throwing money at things. We don't do that in Rock Hill. And we know some other states that are going hard after some of our events. We know Texas is at play. Philadelphia is at play. But right now we're able to hold on to them based off our staff and our community.
Sure. And I tell you what, I always remember the women's ACC basketball tournament, which was here for probably 5 years. It was a big success.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake they made was leaving Rock Hill.
Yeah, they went to Greensboro, right?
Yeah. And it's just been kind of downhill ever since.
Yeah.
They never had the crowds.
Well, they were I would call it my analogy. Maybe it's a bad analogy. You're a big fish in a little pond here. Yeah. We'll make you feel special.
Yeah.
Right? We'll put banners up on Dave Lyle and Cherry Road. I'll never forget I saw a parent. I just happened to be at the right spot at the right time. I don't even know where they're from. They pulled over the car, and kid was standing underneath the banner taking a picture of underneath the banner. And I went up and just said, hey, to him. He's like, look, Dad, they're happy we're here. You can get lost in some of these other bigger cities. It becomes a process.
And it's a very competitive business that you're in.
It is.
As you pointed out, you go off to these conventions and what have you, where all these tournaments are coming together, and your job is to sell Rock Hill.
That's right. Well, and you're right. This is extremely competitive. For anybody out there that may think, hey, you build the facility, they will come. There's some degree to that. I mean, we're blessed that our council management team have built the facilities that we have. But you still have to go out there and build the relationship. You got to go out there and sell this. It takes a team to do that. And then it takes a team within our own department and the city to be able to all be on the same page of hosting it. I think where people make mistakes is they build it, but you got to be able to maintain it. And you got to be able to recruit and build a relationship with these folks.
And it's always more difficult to maintain the same level year after year after year.
It is.
You know, that old adage, the trouble with successful people is they forget the things that made them successful.
That's right.
And
exactly right.
PRT has not done that. I mean, you treat every one of these tournaments like it's the first time they've been here.
That's right.
And we're going to lay out everything we can lay out here.
Well, there's in there also a saying. It said the cost of retaining a new customer is more expensive than just taking care of the customer you have right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to take care of the customers you have right now.
All right, we got about 30 seconds left. Tell me what's coming up.
So you got the regional park obviously coming up. I think we're going to try to figure out some ways to repurpose some of our existing parks and working with our commission. But a big thing is I want to mention is don't forget about our Rock Hill Parks Foundation. It's our 501c3 nonprofit led by Becky Adams. If you're passionate about what you have in Rock Hill, if there's a particular program that you really love, whether it's lifelong learning or therapeutics or BMX or whatever it is, and you want to see an improvement, you can donate to the Parks Foundation. We'll make sure it's spent to good use. They gave over $120,000 to PRT last fiscal year.
And don't forget Miracle Park.
Miracle
probably
Park
says more about our community
absolutely
than anything we have.
That's right. We could spend a whole show just talking about that.
Yeah. And look what it's morphed into. And I know there's more coming.
That's right.
Which is going to be very interesting. Mark, thank you for the work that you all do down there. PRT is great.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. And while we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, is pretty simple. We do fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. Even old retired firemen know what the heck we do here. It's in the white letters, and if you can read the King's English, you are encouraged to participate at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That's the way it should be done, team. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.